is helping us and feeding us and speaking to us. And I want to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Tonight we're going to read from 1 Kings chapter 2. And we're going to enlarge on a topic that we began to talk about a couple of services ago, on contenders for the throne. And this is a second movement in that narrative, or in that story. First Kings, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 13. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, "Comest thou peacefully?" And he said, "Peaceably." And she said, and he said, "Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." If you love his word tonight, as you're seated, let's give God all the praise and thanks. And let's thank him for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. His word that is true, cannot be turned aside. His word that is a rock and a foundation. We praise you, mighty God, for the miracle of your word. Let it plant itself deeply in our hearts and our lives tonight. And we praise you for it. And everyone say amen. Praise God. So this is an extension of a conversation that we had just a few services ago about Adonijah, who is actually the brother of Solomon and another son of Bathsheba. And in the period of time when David is in serious decline, Adonijah conspires with Abiathar the high priest and Joab the captain of the Lord's host, and or the captain of the host of Israel, and they are going to pronounce Adonijah king. And they have a big production, and they blow a trumpet, and they have an anointing ceremony and all of that. But David circumvents that, and he helps Solomon to know, and Nathan the prophet to know, and Benaiah is his personal bodyguard. And so the strength of Judah and Israel really come together behind Solomon. And so Solomon sits on David's throne, and then all of the supporters of Adonijah just kind of slink off into the night. And they realize they made a terrible blunder and a terrible mistake. And lucky for them, Solomon was not vindictive, and he let them all live, even though that was an insurrection. That was a rebellion. And that was outside the realm of good family business or good kingdom business. And at any rate, they are yet alive, and Solomon is established, and his kingdom is beginning to flourish. And this attempted coup was already put down, and the perpetrators were not put to death. So they're still there, and they're still alive. Now, in our text tonight, Adonijah is moving and maneuvering again to try to come into a place of political significance. And he still has it on his mind. And you can hear it in his voice when he's talking to his mom. He said, "Now, mom, you know the kingdom was mine, and all of Israel turned its face to me. I had it, mom, and it just slipped out of my hands." And kind of like a past thought there at the end, he says, "Well, it was Solomon's. It was my brother's because he was chosen of the Lord." But like that was incidental or something. But he's moving again to try to rise up, and using his mother to seek legitimacy by marrying a young lady named Abishag. And he's not repentant. You can hear it in his voice. He says, "The kingdom was mine." And again, this is the way of all history, all kingdoms, all humanity. It's intrigue and politics and Machiavellian devices. And it's everywhere you look throughout history. And in the Bible, it's no different at all. And there's always something in humanity that's seeking dominance and place and power and influence and significance and meaning and affirmation. And we are geared that way, and we're wired that way, and we respond to all of those things. But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and the end thereof are death. And there, God's ways are biblically higher than our ways, like the heavens are above the earth. So just a sidebar tonight, when you're seeking for purpose and meaning and affirmation and all of this in your life and place in your life or in your ministry, you really need to seek it according to God's word and God's way, and let God lead you and let God build you and let God define these terms for you, because the world will define all of those things in a different way, but God will define meaning and purpose and affirmation and all of that for you in a way that is suitable for his kingdom. And that fallen nature of mankind is a lot like Lucifer. And the last time we were talking about this, this is, I suppose, a little review, Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan wants to be God. He wants to overthrow God, and he's a complete reprobate. He believes that he can overthrow God, and consequently, he believes, he is sure he can overthrow you. So he's very persistent, and he never gives up because he's totally convinced. He's a true believer. He is a consummate reprobate. He is a good devil. God made him that way. So it's the nature of the kingdom of hell to overthrow the kingdom of God and to seek control of that is made in God's image. And quite often the devil can't beat up on God, but he likes to beat up on God's wife or God's children. And he comes down, and then there are parts of us that resonate with hell. There are parts of you and me that resonate. They are Luciferian in their nature, and something in us wants to rise to dominance in the wrong way, and something in us wants to rise to significance in the wrong way, and there's something in us that resonates with those types of stories and those types of impulses, and there's something in us all that wants to supplant the divine will of God for every person. And you may have heard the axiom or the saying, never turn your back on the sea. And that's true, and because the sea can just come after you when you least expect it. But I would add to that tonight, or for our purposes tonight, I would say never turn your back on your flesh. Never go to sleep at the wheel. Never forget where you came from and what you're made of. And you may have convinced yourself and everybody else that you are a good person, but listen to God. He said, there's none good. Not one. And you need to know there's more of us that's like hell than we are like heaven. Now, I'll tell you this. You can walk in the Spirit. You can be led of the Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can be redeemed. Your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be instructed by the Word of God and walk wisely and with the purpose of heaven in your life. And you can be an awesome representative of the kingdom of God. You can mature. You can grow. You can get there. And you can really be what the Word of God has called you to be. But don't turn your back on the flesh, and don't turn your back on that Adamic nature, because just when you think you're standing, you have the capacity to fall. And just when you think you've got it made, there's something in you by the name of pride that can rise up in you and can cause you all sorts of grief and derail your experience. And so don't turn your back on that. The most secure place for you, the best, the most advantageous place for you in your life potential is to have the highest value enthroned in your heart. And the highest value is Jesus. He is the ideal. And the kingdom of God is the highest value set that you can find. And so that needs to be ensconced in the throne room of your heart. And you need to maintain that, because there's entropy all around you in the natural world, but there's entropy that will assault your experience in the kingdom of God. If you don't believe that, go back and read the parable of the virgins and understand that five of them ran out of oil. You can get the Holy Ghost tonight, but you better get it again on Sunday morning, and you probably need to get it again on Sunday night, and you better pray through on Monday, because I don't know what's coming after you. It takes Holy Ghost to live, but you better pray through every day of your life. You need more Holy Ghost, because it takes Holy Ghost. You're living in hostile territory. You are behind enemy lines. And so it takes the energy of the kingdom of God to walk this well and to walk it wisely. And you just have to replenish yourself. Come on. If you're a video gamer, you know you've got to go and get more armor and more whatever it is that you use in your game. You got to go get recharged. And I don't know anything about those things. I just know that that's true. So, you know, you need to come back in the house of God. I can hear Brother Booker saying, what level do you want to play at? Well, you got to come in and get cranked up. You've got to come in and get filled up. You've got to come in and get worded up and spirited up. And you've got to walk in the power of the name. And you got to get it real and right today. Somebody say praise God. You can't live on an old experience. This thing is alive in the present. I love what God did, but you need to know what God is doing right now. It needs to be real in your life right now. And so we put the highest ideal and the personage of that highest ideal, who is Jesus, in the throne room of our hearts. And in the kingdom of God, we don't bother gauging ourselves and comparing ourselves with one another or with other people or with the world at large, but rather we deal with those things that are within us. We seek dominance, but not over other people. We seek dominance over the contenders for the throne of God in our heart. There are a multitude of things that want to take the throne in your heart. And you need to be dominant over all of those things. And let me tell you, that is a lifetime's work. And that will be with you until you take your last breath or that trumpet sounds. I just want you to know. Now, when we get on the other side, that'll all be resolved. And you'll be everything that you're trying to be right now. But that day's not here yet. And you've got to get yourself up and get yourself cranked and get yourself in the kingdom of God every day. Make this thing real. Make this thing real. If you're living from Sunday to Wednesday and you're just living on what you get in the house of God, I'm telling you, that's not enough. That's not enough. You need your own altar. You need your own prayer life. You need a place of worship. You need a place in the Word of God. I'm just telling you. You'd be upset with me if I told you you can only eat on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You'd be really hungry when you came. But you wouldn't be satisfied with that, because you'd be really, really hungry on Thursday night and all day Friday. But you need to eat the things of God every day, every day. You need to be fat in the kingdom of God. If you're going to overdo anything, overdo the Word of God and overdo your prayer and overdo your worship and get a little too much of all of that. You need some reserve in the things of God. Foolish virgin said, well, you've got some more, give me some of yours. And that wasn't possible. Paul will teach and say, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We're nothing with God. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the strongholds are not outside somewhere or some in some demonic crag on a mountainside or some witch's coven. It's not there. Those are not the strongholds. He said, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations. Touch yourself right there on your temple. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's another type of knowledge or an alternative knowledge to the word of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So where's the battleground? It's right there. Where's the war taking place? Right there. Where are the strongholds? They are right there. And those things, that is where they present themselves. When they come to take authority, or when they come to take position, or when they come to usurp the throne of your life, they come here, and they all have a voice, and they all speak, and they begin to spin a rationale or tell a story, and they all begin to try to convince you of why they need to be in control of your motor output, the way you walk, the way you talk, where you go, what you do. They all have a voice, and they all want to tell you how they need to be in charge of your life. But I'm telling you, there's only one room for one on the throne in heaven, and there only needs to be room for one on the throne in your heart. And when those other competing voices begin to sound off, you need to say, nope, no ma'am, no sir, Jesus is the Lord of my life. I only have one throne in my heart, and God is on that throne, and that's not changeable, that's not negotiable. And so those things have to be pulled down. That is active, that is assertive. You can't just sit and let them talk. You can't sit and let them move and manipulate and stream their story and whisper in your ear and all of that. It's possible for the devil to whisper to you. It's possible for a demon to whisper to you, or for a backslidden friend to whisper to you. But I want you to know you got enough voices inside you to take care of that all on your own. There's a whole host of things down inside of you that have a voice, and you need to rise up and talk back. You need to find your voice. You need to find your voice that is conditioned by your position in the kingdom of God. Your voice that belongs to God. And you need to say, no, I only have one throne in my heart, and that belongs to God. I can't go there because I've got to please God. I can't be that because I have to please God. I have a covenant with God. You need to sound off, and you need to open your mouth, and you need to be assertive, and you need to let those voices know. Now, you may look at me a little strange if I'm talking about you hearing voices, and you may act like you don't, but then you'd be lying. Yep. So, you're a collection of all these kinds of instincts and drives and passions and thoughts and imaginations, and any of them at any time can vie for dominance in your life, and they're actually competing for the throne and to control your life. And as we say before, if you don't think that's true, if you don't think you're a bundle of competing things, just tell yourself what to do. Tell yourself about how you're going to make a commitment to do or be a certain thing. Tell yourself how you're going to run a mile or two every morning at 5 o'clock. Tell yourself how you're not going to eat that donut. Tell yourself how you're never again going to think about how mad you are at that other person. Tell yourself that. And then go eat the donut while you're thinking about running. You know how that is. That's why health clubs make a fortune in January. And they keep the fortune, and nobody shows up in February. Well, some people do, but you get the point. You understand what I'm saying. So we're sometimes successful at telling ourselves what to do, but it takes a supreme effort of will, does it? Is there a witness in the house? I mean, you really have to work on it. But I'll tell you, when you do that and you accomplish it and you actually make improvements and build yourself and achieve in your life, it feels so good, and you find so much meaning and value in that. It's a really good thing, but it's not easy. It really isn't. And so you've got hunger and lust and fear and paranoia and insecurity and hatred and offense and bitterness, all sorts of things. You're a collection of all kinds of things. And when those things are on your heart, and those things take the throne of your heart, you become a different person than you are when Jesus is on your throne of the heart. I just want you to know, uncontrolled appetite is a dangerous thing. You have to get in control of all of these things. And they can convince you to behave in ways that are awful for your personal life, your family life, for all the things that you plan and all the potential that God's placed in your life. So back to our text tonight. Adonijah is cooking. He's cooking up a new plot. And you might say, well, I thought that was over. I thought he made a run at the throne and David and Solomon and Benaiah and Nathan, and they just shut him down, and now he's off and he's licking his wounds and he's found the error of his ways. No, he's back. He's back. He's talking to his mama, and he's working a political ploy, and the threat has not passed. And you get the idea when you read about Jesus and the temptation in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4. And at the end of it all, after Jesus has said, it is written, it is said, and he quotes the word of God and he turns aside the temptation of the enemy, then it says, and when the devil had finished all temptation, he left him for a season. And we make a point of that in the Bible study. We make a point. Sometimes we'll say, he left him for good. And the reader will say, no, he left him only for a season. And that's right. He's coming back. He's always coming back. The things that seek dominance in your life and seek to work against the kingdom of God in your life, they're always coming back. So you always have to be vigilant, and you always have to be strong, and you always have to be ready. And you can't let your guard down, and you better not turn your back on the flesh. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so he's talking to his mama, and he says, now don't tell me no, mom. And she says, I won't tell you no, boy. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon, the king. And I think he's probably being a little sarcastic there. For he will not say unto thee, nay, I know him. He won't tell his mama no. That he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Mama's helping him. Bathsheba, mama, don't help your children when they're being bad. Don't be Bathsheba. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't you be Bathsheba. Don't you facilitate error and bad behavior in your children. Don't you do it. I know you love them, and I know you think they're real cute. But let me tell you something about teenagers. Teenagers are a basket full of trouble. I love all of you, but they're not two anymore. And they were cute. They were a basket of trouble when they were two, but it's just a different kind of trouble. They're a basket of trouble right now. And they got all kinds of things going on in their mind and in their heart and in their spirit, and they're experiencing the awesome anxiety of adolescence. It happens to all of them. But when they start coming to you and smoozing you and trying to get you on their side about something that you know they ought not be doing, and oh, mama and daddy, don't ever get crosswise of one another. You got to be a united front when you're working on this. Yeah. Oldest ploy in the world. Hey, dad, mom said it was okay with her if it's okay with you. And he says, well, if it's okay with her. Hey, mom, dad said it's okay with him, it's okay with you. And they both just got played. Yeah. And they both gave it off to the other, but they really gave it off to the kid. Right. And neither one of them wanted to take responsibility for that. Anyway, don't be Bathsheba. Don't facilitate nonsense. Now, the kids are getting nervous here tonight because they think it's not Friday night. It's not a youth service. They're coming after me on Wednesday night. What's that about? She said, I will speak to the king for you. Bathsheba therefore went to the king Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. And then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. Don't tell me no, Solomon. Mama's there. She gets the preferred seat. He lets her in. And he's a mama's boy now. He's under a spell here. And she said, I just want this one. It's this sweet, ignorant manipulation that's going on here. And the king said to her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. Because he had no idea what she was about to ask. And he just lied before her and God. Because he's going to come down with a big foot on this and say no. But he just lied to his mama because he said, I will not tell you no. And the king said, ask, I won't tell you no. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, that was his helper in the last insurrection, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah, the captain of the host that helped them in the last insurrection. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God, do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. He's going to die. Now that, Mom, you wanted something for your boy, you're going to get something. He's about to die, and it's because of what he's doing. He's trying to manipulate this throne, and he's trying to manipulate you, and he's trying to gain some significance and some traction. Now, therefore, as the Lord lives, which has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me a house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. Not what Bathsheba expected. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. And unto Abiathar, the priest, his helper in the last insurrection, get thee to Anathoth, unto your own fields, for you are not worthy, for thou art worthy of death, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because you bore the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because you've been afflicted in all where my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being the priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. This is prophetic from the judgment that came down on Eli's house many, many years before. And so Abiathar is cast out, and he is set in a place of exile. And Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord. And behold, he's by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. So he's cleaning house. He had a little mercy first time. He played it a little bit softer the first time. He didn't come down really, really hard the first time. But now he said, no, these things are trying to displace me and displace the throne and displace the kingdom of God. These things have to die. Now it's time to start to stop fooling around with this and being passive about this. Now it's time to take some decisive action. These things have to go. They've got to get out of my kingdom, and they've got to get out of my life. Now I'll tell you, there comes a time when Adonijah has to die, and there comes a time when Abiathar has to get out, and there comes a time when Joab has to die, and later on it's evident that these are competitors for the throne, and these are influences that have to be treated in a decisive way. And I'm just going to tell you, you can put up with the noise, and you can put up with the clutter, and you can put up with all of the impulses, and you can walk with that for a while, but there's going to come a time when you're going to have to put your foot down. And you're going to have to take a stand about some things that are going on inside of you. And you're going to have to win some victories. And you're going to have to put some things down. Somebody say amen. Bathsheba thinks it's a little thing. But mama, you may not see your boy clearly. You may not see daddy, your little girl, clearly. I want to tell you, if you're starting to get snarky responses out of your children, if they're making suggestive comments to their friend, if they're lying to you, If everything that they say, you get a report from their peer group that tells you they are involved in saying things that are full of innuendo and sexual suggestion, something is vying for the throne of their life. Now, I'm not brilliant by any stretch of the imagination, but I will tell you this. If right now you're getting that kind of turbulent response from your children, and you're getting back talk, and you're getting lying, and you're getting things that are disruptive to the house and the family and the kingdom of God in that home, the first thing I want you to do, shut down the internet and shut down their social media. If they're in a public school setting, they may be getting influence there. But if they're an apostolic kid with an apostolic peer group, that's coming in from somewhere. My first guess would be this. And I am serious as I can be tonight. You need to get that and put it in a box and tell them, until you demonstrate to me that you are an angel, that's not coming back to you. The internet's shut down. The phone is shut down. The social media is shut down. And you may put up with it, and you may give them a little grace, and you may give them a little mercy, but there's going to come a day when you'll be sorry that you didn't take Adonijah out and cut his head off. I'm telling you, there's some things after the soul of your young people, and you need to drag them out and put them down. And if they have a friend like Abiathar that's going to help them overthrow the throne of God, then you need to banish Abiathar. You need to say, and when they come and say, Susie wants to come over. Susie wants me to come over to her house. You just say, no, Susie is banished to Anathoth. What? I said, off to Anathoth with Susie. Hey, my buddy wants me to go with him. He wants me to hang with him. Like, no, I've seen enough of that. I took away your social media. I took away your internet. You're still acting like a fool. Now I'm narrowing it down. I'm bringing the circle in closer. And now I'm going to get rid of all your friends. We're going to kill them. We're going to take them to Anathoth. Or we're going to bring them down to the altar. You know, Joab died holding on to the horns of the altar. Benaiah went back to Solomon and said, man, he's in the temple and he's holding on to the horns of the altar and he won't get out. He won't let go. And Solomon said, kill him right there, which is really pretty brilliant, because there's a lot of this stuff you can kill in the altar. There's a lot of this stuff, those voices, those impulses, those instincts, those drives, those things that keep cropping up and suggesting to you that you live in a way that is unlike the Word of God and the ethos of the kingdom of God. Drag those things down to the altar. You say, well, they didn't preach to me that. Now, don't worry about it. Just before the service, come down and bring that thing to the altar. After the service, if it's Mother's Day and they preach to the mamas in the house, but you've got some voice in you that needs killing, come down on Mother's Day to the altar and kill that thing. Bring it down to the altar. Because there comes a time when you've got to just put your foot down and say, this is it. Some things have to die. Some things have to be banished. Some things have to be dragged to the altar. But I've got to get this right in my life. I've got a cacophony of voices in my head and in my spirit that are trying to overthrow God in my life. And I cannot let those things persist. Now, I've listened to them for a while. But you know, you've got to do something. Because if that drones on and on and on, you don't know what else they're doing in your life. Those things can't remain. Praise God. So, kids, I'm sorry. I'm up in your business and getting on you. And now you're like, oh, thanks a lot, Pastor. thanks a lot. You're going to go home tonight, and your mom and dad are going to get all religious and convicted, and they're going to take your phone. And you're going to be mad at me. I didn't do it. You did it. If you were an angel, they wouldn't be taking your phone. If you weren't acting like a fool, they wouldn't take your phone. I believe you can live for God and have a phone. I believe you can live for God and have the internet, social media. I believe you can. But if you don't, you need to lose some stuff. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, in my humble opinion, I'm believing that if you shut down the internet and the social media, you're going to get an immediate improvement. Praise God. I believe you will. And if they say, I'm bored, put them to work. Find them a job. Wash the car. Dig a ditch. You know? I don't know what kind of house you came up in, but we didn't cuss around my mama. I didn't say we didn't cuss. I just said we didn't cuss around my mama. My daddy cussed at the table like a sailor, and you learned how to navigate that. So I could cuss like a sailor, and I could talk like a civilized person, because my mom would wash your mouth out with lava soap, the kind with volcanic pumice in it. Not a holiday. So some things have to die. Shimei is the guy that threw rocks and dirt at David when they were leaving town during the insurrection with Absalom. And when David comes back, Shimei asks for mercy. David grants him mercy. But he on the side, he tells Solomon, don't you let him live his life out. You make sure he comes to a bloody end. He said, I said I wouldn't kill him, but you need to kill this guy. And so while he's rounding up people and while he's taking off heads, he sets Shimei in a place with parameters. He said, you come to your house, you stay in Jerusalem. If you leave outside the city, you're going to die. And 3 years later, Shimei popped his head up again. Some servant left and needed retrieving, and he left. And Benaiah found out about it, and Solomon found out about it, and Shimei died that day. So some things maybe you can put some parameters around, and some things maybe you can cordon off. You can try all kinds of things, but after a while, some things just need to die. Yeah, it's fine, you know. Some friendships need to die. Some activities need to die. Some behaviors need to die so that you can live and live at the level that God wants you to live at. There comes a time where some things need to die. These contenders for the throne, they have a way of resurrecting themselves. And you may have a tremendous time in the Lord praying through and a time of fasting and prayer, and you just get so strong and everything. But that flesh is pernicious, and it'll come back. The writer of Proverbs said, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come upon as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So you don't have any pressure or no crisis at the present, and so you kind of slack off. You don't want to be a crisis prayer warrior. You don't want to be a reactive saint of God who only prays and fasts when something really terrible is going on. You need, the important things have to be worked into process. You need to find a daily experience in prayer and fasting and the Word of God. Work it into process, habituate it, and then you're ready every day. You're charged and you're supplied and you're ready all the time. And And so if you only pray when there's a crisis in your life, then there's going to come a time when you're just whistling through life, and those things are going to rise up again, and you're going to have to deal with them. They're going to seek to take authority in your life. I got to quit. It's close to 8:30. Sam, won't you come? Let's stand together. Praise God. Now, we have a few minutes here. If you have Adonijah in your life that's trying to rise up, you thought you had him whipped and he's rising up again, just come on. Don't mind me. Come on down to this altar and cut his throat. If you've got a Joab in your life that's working against you and working against the kingdom of God in your life, just come on down to this altar. Bring it down to the altar and say, God, this thing has to die. This thing has to go. I have to bring it to the altar until it withers, until it dies. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're dealing with, and I don't know what kind of contender is trying to take advantage or take authority in your life, but I want you to know that these things can die. These things can be in the rearview mirror. These things can be set in a place with parameters where they can't break out. You can have victory. This is not an illusion. You can have victory in this house tonight. You can have real revival in your life, and the promise of God can be real in your life. Pray a prayer. Talk in tongues.
To break every chain.
Some young person. Come make a commitment before your mama has to make it for you. Some young person. Come make a commitment before your daddy has to make it for you.
There's power in his name. In the name of Jesus.
Break every chain.
Let's clap our hands and lift our voice and magnify God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A couple of things here. One, a little inside baseball, young people. I use you tonight for a foil. If you don't know what that is, go and learn what it means. I use the young people for a foil because there's some adults in the house that needs to drag some things down to the altar, cut their head off. And you know what? It's easy to get adults on board when you start kicking young people. It's amazing. Go and learn what it means. Secondly, the executioner for Solomon is Benaiah. And his name means built by God. He's one of the mighty men of David. He's the head of David's personal bodyguard. He's a ferocious guy. His name means built by God. So to make this a little less abstract tonight, because sometimes you come to the altar and it's like, I feel this and I want this, but I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to walk it tomorrow morning, right? So built by God killed Adonijah. Built by God killed Shimei. Took Abiathar to Anathoth and said, don't come back, and kill Joab at the altar. So here's what you can do. Here's how you actively participate in what the Holy Ghost is talking to you about tonight. You may not know how to kill that thing inside of you, but you do know how to build yourself up in God. You know how to eat the bread of the Word of God, and you know how to drink the water of the Spirit in prayer and in worship. You build yourself up in God, and that Benaiah that grows inside of you, built by God, will kill your Adonijah. I'm just telling you. So that makes it a little less abstract and a little more practical. Just thought I'd tell you that. Hey, God bless you. So good to be with you on a Wednesday night. Go ahead, clap your hands. Give God thanks. Hallelujah. Hey, we magnify, we bless you. We praise you, oh God. God bless you. Now remember, Brother Bass is going to be here Sunday. Take some flyers, take some cards, bring somebody to church, and let's fill the house up with people that need the Holy Ghost and see somebody receive the kingdom on Sunday morning. Lord bless.